I've got to tell everyone about the man, the risen Lord that I met on the Damascus Road. I've been entrusted with something. I've got to tell everyone. That's what it's like for us as well. Jesus laid the gospel upon Paul, and he's laid it upon us. We have a duty. We have an obligation.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to our midweek broadcast. We are currently airing Pastor Bill's series, A Divided Church, from the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians. This next message is from chapter 9. The pastor has entitled it, None of These Things. Now, Pastor Bill.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Remember that Paul, when we started in chapter 8 last Sunday, Paul, like I told you, he's going to devote three chapters now to the question of the letter that they sent unto Paul, which we do not have, asking him about things that were sacrificed to idols. So chapter 8, 9, 10, all the way to chapter 11, verse 1, Paul is now responding to this question. Remember that the problem in Corinth at this time, I mean, the many problems, they were divided, they were suing one another, they had horrible sexual immorality, they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, abusing the gifts of the Spirit, questioning the resurrection, the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had doubts about that. But here in this chapter, the knowledgeable believers realize that, an idol was nothing. And there in Corinth, all the meats, everything, 90%, 99%, everything was, the meats were given or devoted to the sacrifices to idols. And then they were sold in the marketplace or whatnot. And then when the person went to buy that, the believer, he was worried about it, especially if he was a weak believer. And he wasn't knowledgeable. In fact, he couldn't eat that meat because it violated his conscience. But the older believers were, hey, there's nothing to it, man. I'm going to eat that T-bone steak, whether you like it or not. And that, Paul said, don't do that. Don't harm the little believers. Amen? They have to mature. They have to grow up. That's why Paul said in chapter 8, verse 9, he said this, beware lest your liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. In other words, eating meat sacrificed to idols in front of those who are weak. He goes on to say in verse 12 that when you sin against your brethren and you wound their weak conscience in 1 Corinthians 8:12, you sin against Christ. It's a terrible thing for you, for me, or anyone, which we pray we never do, is to cause our brother, our sister to stumble. It says when we do, it's more than just a sin. It is a sin against our Savior. He feels those blows. We should never, never do that. Now, let's not make a mistake this morning that many do. What I mean by that is that it seems like when you leave the few verses in chapter 8, all of a sudden you have a feeling that Paul is starting a brand new topic in chapter 9. That's not the case at all. He's carrying on the same theme, but he's going to do something. We're talking about liberty, Christian liberty, what we should do or not do in front of another believer. Some of you have liberty to do this, and Paul says, you know what? If you do that in front of another person, another believer, you're going to cause that person to stumble. He said, keep it to yourself. Amen? And so now Paul is going to use an illustration, an example. He's going to take us and use his own person, if you will. Now listen carefully. These 27 verses are they're emotional for me. They're deep. What you don't see is Paul the Apostle. I mean, here is a man, a great man of God, who loves Jesus with all of his heart. You don't see him in Ephesus with that pen or perhaps a candlelight and pen, and he's writing this letter to them in response to the questions that this divided church has asked him. And Paul uses himself now about his own rights, comparing them with their rights. And when he does, it's filled with emotion, although the pages don't render that emotion to us. So as we look this morning at these 14 questions that Paul is going to ask the Corinthian church, we want to talk about where Paul said, I have used none of these things, meaning I've used none of my rights, beginning in chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? In other words, are you not the evidence that God called me, that I'm an apostle? He says, if I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you, speaking to the church at Corinth, for to you, you are the seal, you're the certificate, you're the proof, if you will, of my apostleship in the Lord. Remember earlier where Paul says, you know, he planted the church at Corinth. He was there for 18 months. I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. So Paul's four questions as we begin our study this morning, they're all rhetorical. The answer is, of course you know I'm an apostle. Of course you know that I have rights. I'm a Christian just like you are a Christian. In other words, the church at Corinth, they knew these things. Only others that were actually testing Paul, but not everyone at Corinth. He says, listen, I have all these rights, the same rights that you have, even more, actually, Paul could have said. He said, but you know what? He said, I am not exercising all my rights. And he's saying to the church at Corinth, and you got a problem, because the majority of you are exercising your liberties in Christ, and you're causing your brother and your sister to stumble. That's something that you should never, ever do. And he says, my defense to those who examine me, or my answer to those that are sitting in judgment of me, is this. Do we have no liberty, no freedom, no right, no authority, that's what that word means, to eat and drink? Isn't that a strange way to start out? In other words, Paul, eat and drink what? Well, obviously, he's talking about the first thing would be, can I not go into the marketplace and buy meat? I mean, if it's been sacrificed to an idol, I'm not going to ask about it. I just want to eat. I'm hungry. Do I not have the right to go do that? We know that there's only one God. There's no such thing as an idol, and he goes through all that talk. We understand that. But there is a limit, Paul says, to my liberty. And that liberty is verse 13 in chapter 8, where he says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother stumble. See, Paul's, he had a limit to his liberty. He says, if that offends my little brother or my little sister, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that at all. And that doesn't mean, loved one, about the meat here, it says, I'm never going to eat meat again. That doesn't mean that he's a vegetarian, okay? I've heard that. I'm going, where'd you get that? That's not what that's talking about. No. Now look here again. It says, do we not have the right to eat and drink? What is he talking about? Yes, about meat sacrificed to idols, but also at the expense of the church. That's what he's speaking of here about the rights that he has. Watch this one. Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, meaning on his missionary journeys, as do the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, or I should say the half-brothers of the Lord, you know, James, Joseph, Judas, Simeon, and Cephas. Now, that's Peter. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not beating up any people in the words I'm about to express. I'm talking about a theology, okay? Now, if Peter, was he married? Yes, he was married. Mark, what was it? Mark 1:30, Jesus goes into the house of Peter. His wife lays sick with fever, and he lays hands upon her and heals her. Now, so we know that Peter had a wife. Now, it's claimed that the Pope, you know, Peter was the first Pope. If he was the first Pope, and he wasn't, but if he was, he was a married Pope, okay? Now, not only that, some people teach, or some theologies teach, that Mary was a perpetual virgin. Now, I'm not here to make anyone mad, but the fact is, if she was a perpetual virgin, she had a lot of kids, okay? You can email me with your anger later. Now, because I love you. But this is not what I'm talking about this morning. Here's the deal. You don't see the emotion in Paul in this writing. And I understand it. He says, do I not have the right to have someone love me? Do I not have the right to have a woman that's married to me lay beside me at night? The Bible says, you know, how can you stay warm unless you have two together? He says, is it wrong for me to fall in love? Is it wrong to me to have someone that's with me, a helper, someone to support me as I go all over this continent sharing Jesus Christ? That's what he was saying. He was saying, listen, do I not have the right to have, you have a home? Can I have a home? Are you following me? But listen, this is Paul. He's saying, okay, you know, many of you guys, you said, oh, well, I'm of Peter. Well, Peter has a wife. Even Jesus' brothers, come on, they're all married. They all have wives. And Paul is challenging them to help them grow up because, see, they were really into their Christian liberties at the expense of others and hurting them. He says, don't I have the right to celebrate the joy of Christian marriage? You ever think that Paul is lonely? Come on. Paul's just like you and me. Do you know what it's like to be out on the mission field all by yourself? To be in another country all by yourself? Do you know how your prayer life deepens when that happens? Do you know how lonely you feel when you're, you know, you go from room to room and they put you in places and there's, listen, I've been there, done that, know that. It's hard. And there's a loneliness that comes over you and you want your wife. You don't want to be alone. That's what Paul was saying. We could bring it up to today and say, well, do we not have a right to send our kids to college? You do. You see what I'm getting at? So Paul, he is really, even though it's not expressed in these words, meaning on the page, the emotion is not jumping out at you. I want it to jump out at you because that's exactly what Paul is saying. And then he goes and he says, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? In other words, are we the only people in Christendom that no one's going to support, that we're working day and night? He's saying, are we not entitled as ministers of Christ to financial support like all the other ministers? And you know, I know you guys think I'm adding to Scripture, that I'm just adding. That doesn't mean I'm adding to God's Word. I'm joking right now. You got that? Okay. May I add? If I was Paul, and I would say, I know that you think that I only work on Sundays and I play golf the rest of the week. But that ain't the case. Do you understand? No, Paul is saying, listen, you know, Paul, did he labor? He was a tent maker. He labored as a tent maker. Not only did he support himself, he supported all those who traveled with him. The church at Corinth, they didn't do that at all. He's saying, listen, don't I have the right to rest sometimes? You know, that's why in verse 15, when we get there, he's going to say, listen, but you know what? I've used none of my rights. I've used absolutely none of these things. And he says, who goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard, doesn't eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of milk of the flock? We know the answer. No one. Listen, if you go into the military today, if you're a soldier, do you pay your own rent? No, they pay you, right? They give you a billets to eat in. You get three meals a day, okay? If you want to call them meals. Now, no, you don't go, okay, I'm a soldier by day, but I have a night job at 7-Eleven so I can buy my weapons. No, you don't do that. He says, if you're a farmer, do you go out, okay, there's the land. I'm going to clear the stone. I'm going to plow the ground. I'm going to sow the seed. I'm going to bring in the harvest. But I can't share in any of it. You can have it. Go ahead and eat it in front of me. Starve me to death. But do you understand how Paul's just pouring out his heart? He's saying, you know what? If you have there, if I'm a shepherd, I'm taking care of all these sheep, the goats, they produce a little milk. You think I can have a drink of it? See, that's what Paul, he's given all these examples. And look what he does now in verse 8. Do I say these things as a mere man, another question from Paul. In other words, is this just a human point of view only? Now, it's not, but look what he does. Or does not the law say the exact same thing also? Watch this. For it is written in the law of Moses, that's Deuteronomy 25:4, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the corn. Now, look at this next question. Is it oxen God is concerned about? That's a very important question, loved one. Now, is God concerned about animals? Of course he is. The Bible says he cares for every living thing. But right here, I don't want to blow you away, but this verse wasn't written to oxen. They can't read. Amen? Do you all know that? Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't want to blow you away here. So, but listen, if you go back and study the Old Covenant, for a Jew to muzzle his ox, it treads out the corn, whatever, and not allow him to eat, the law says he is to be scourged. That's very important. Now listen, he goes on and watch this. Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? Or for our sakes, no doubt, this is written that he who plows, well, he should plow in hope. In other words, hope to get something. And he who threshes, meaning in the wheat there, he says, should do it in hope and be a partaker or share in this hope as well. So Paul says, he says, guys, to the church at Corinth, talking about rights, the rights that you're, you know, so involved with. He says, if God wants the farmer to take care of his oxen, how much more does God want you to take care of the ministers of the gospel? See, that's what Paul is saying. God says, don't muzzle that poor ox who plowed the field and does all those things. Let him eat. And then what is Paul saying? He's saying, don't muzzle out those who labor in full-time ministry. Don't starve the missionaries. Don't starve the pastors, the evangelists, whatever God's called them to be. You know, listen, the church past and the church present, it's so true. I've been in it 35 years. I know. The church is notorious for starving their pastors. Do you know that? Oh, thank you. But they all have committees. We're going to keep that pastor humble. You know, I loved old J. Vernon McGee. Let me just read what he said. He said, I heard a story about a preacher in Kentucky who drove a very fine, beautiful horse. But the preacher himself was a very skinny fellow. And one day, one of his church officers asked the question, which had been a matter of discussion for a long time. He says, how is it, preacher, that your horse is so fine looking and you are such a skinny fellow? Well, the preacher answered and said, well, I'll tell you. I feed my horse, and you are the ones who feed me. There's only one J. Vernon McGee. We're going to meet him in heaven. You know, listen, I'm so thankful that that's not the case at Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. May I tell you that I'm a very well-fed oxen, okay? And I appreciate that. You guys are awesome. Now, let's look at verse 11. Paul says, he goes on now, he says, listen, if we have sown spiritual things for you, now spiritual things are always eternal things. He says, is it a great thing or is it too much if we reap your material things? Now, spiritual things, eternal, material things are temporary. Who's getting the best deal in Corinth? Yeah, they are, aren't they? Absolutely. So the answer here is he and all the ministers, whoever they are, need to be supported. So if the ministers there, Paul says, if they sow spiritual blessings to you, it's not wrong at all. They have the right to receive material blessings. Now listen, that's not man's method. That's God's way. Okay? In other words, if, for example, if you're being spiritually fed here at Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, do you go and pay for it at another place? No. I mean, if you eat at Luby's, God forbid, but if you do, if you eat at Luby's, do you then leave Luby's and run down to the Hofbräu and pay for what you ate there? No. I'm just glad you understand that. No, listen, that's not what we do. He says, if others, meaning like maybe Peter or Apollos or whoever, if others are partakers or literally share in the joy of this right, this right that we have as Christians in this financial support is what he's saying, over you, are we not even more? I mean, Paul can say, listen, I planted the church at Corinth. Nevertheless, watch what he says. We've not used this liberty. We've not used this right, but we endure all things. And here's the reason, lest we hinder, cut off. That word means hinder. It means to cut a trench where they can't get across. Lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. You see that word, that verb there, it's endure. That word literally means, the primary meaning there is keeping silent and doing so because, well, or out of the love of other people. Here, meaning the believers in Corinth. So Paul, do you know that Paul never complained? I've complained. As a matter of fact, you know, I was praying in my prayer time this morning. I said, Lord, I'm complaining more in my old days than I did when I was younger. Do old people just get cantankerous? Or do we just turn, I mean, when you get old, like you, all of a sudden you turn into a bunch of complainers? Ah, those kids, the way they drive, look at that, you know. Who moved in next door? Look at those, you know, I'm teasing you, right? No, I'm not. You know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be, you know, a complaining old man. Paul said, but Paul said he never complained. He didn't. He had a love like no other. I tell you, he would do nothing to hinder, to cut off the gospel, the good news, getting it to anyone. That was his primary desire. He would do absolutely nothing to cause a brother to stumble. He wouldn't do it. Paul labored in Corinth, remember Acts chapter 18, 1.5 years, and he supported himself. Again, tent maker. You know what it says in 2 Corinthians 11:8? Paul says, I robbed other churches so I could minister to you. Isn't that amazing? I didn't charge you, not a penny that you ever gave me. He says, now look at verse 13. He's rebuking them here. He says, do you not know that those who minister the holy things, the sacred things, in other words, eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake or have a share in of the offerings at the altar? First, he uses an Old Testament example. In other words, the Levites and the priests, they were allowed to eat part of the sacrifices, and they were also to receive tithes were given unto the priests as well and the Levites. Now watch. Even so, the Lord has what? Commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. The Lord said in Matthew 10:10, he said, a worker is worthy of his hire, or literally, worker is worthy of his pay. So the Lord commands people, the church, to support those who devote their lives to full-time ministry. But I want you to notice something. It's very important. It's ministry first. It's not support first. And boy, today it's been reversed for some reason. People want, I'm in the ministry, but I want you to support me before I go into the ministry. No, 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 no. That's not the way it works. You don't have anything to support unless you're in the ministry. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, in these verses from 4 to 14, Paul the apostle has spoken about his liberty in Christ. He says, listen, I have the right to do all of these things, but I don't. But when we get to this verse here, verse 15, it to me is one of the most moving verses, well, really in 1 Corinthians. It doesn't jump off the page unless you can read it in the background that it was written from the original languages. Let's read it. Paul says, but I've used none of these things. I've used none of my rights, nor have I written these things that it should be done so unto me. I'm not begging for your support. I'm not even hinting that you support me. He said, that's not my purpose. He says, for it would be better for me to what? It'd be better for me to die that anyone should make my boasting void. Now, let's clear something up right now. Paul is not talking about I'm proud of what I'm doing. Remember what he said, that he said, if he's going to boast, I'm going to boast in the cross back in chapter 1 and 2. And he also said in chapter 1, verse 31, he said, he who glories, he who boasts, or he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's what Paul was doing. Did you catch what Paul said? He said, I've used none of these things. You guys have all these rights and they're hurting other people, your brothers and sisters. I don't do that. I have all these rights that I could claim because I am an apostle. I'm of Christ Jesus. I've seen him three times, he could have said. I planted your church. All those things. Matter of fact, he could have said, you know what? One of the times that the Lord appeared to me, it was because of you, the church at Corinth. In Acts chapter 18, he said, there I was. I'd been beaten so much. I'd been imprisoned so much. I was tired. I was worn out. And the Lord appeared to me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. He said, don't be afraid. No one's going to hurt you in this city. No one's going to beat you up anymore, Paul. Stay here, for I have many people in this city. Paul could have laid it all out to them just like that. And Paul did. He stayed there longer than any other place, a year and a half, preaching the love of God, the love of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the good news. Paul said, I didn't do any of those things. I didn't ask for any of my rights. I waived all of my rights. You know why he did it? Because Paul said, you know what? You're in trouble, and I'm going to be an example unto you. I'm going to be a living example unto you. That's why when we get to the end in chapter 11, verse 1 of this three chapters, if you will, about what Paul's discussing, he says, imitate me even as I imitate Christ.
Once again, we are out of time, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you for listening with us, and please enjoy the rest of your day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.